Fake news is a phrase that's fairly familiar to us these days due to its usage by Donald Trump, past U.S. president, wants to be president again. When Mr. Trump doesn't like some comment that's made about him or about his style of leadership, he often brushes such comments off as fake news. Many think the phrase originated with the past American president, but it has been around a lot longer than he has been around. The phrase apparently dates back to the 19th century. Back then, newspaper publishers competed for sales by printing sensational stories, fake stories, stories that had little substance to them. In a world in which the phrase fake news keeps popping up, we might wonder who we can trust or what we can believe. Fake news is deliberate misinformation. Stories manipulated to make them sound credible. I suggest to you that fake news has been around much longer than the 19th century. At the time of Christ's birth, there were those who were of the mind that the virgin birth of Jesus was less than a true story. And there were certainly those who tried to put the fake spin on the resurrection of Jesus. And some say that Christians are being misled with regards to the return of Christ, that our expectation is not just a realistic expectation in an advanced modern age. Enough about fake news. Let's get on to our theme for this evening, one of the Apostle Paul's trustworthy sayings. And this brings us to 1 Timothy 4, verse 8 and 10. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Now, we can't be 100% sure what Paul is referring to as the trustworthy saying of 1 Timothy 4. For example, is his trustworthy saying in verse 8, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present and the future? Or is Paul's trustworthy saying really verse 10, that our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe? I really don't think we need to try and sort out whether verse 8 or verse 10 is Paul's trustworthy saying. By the way, he has five in all. We've already looked at two of them. This is the third one. More learned folk than me have tried to tie it down, but couldn't be definitive. I would suggest that what's said in both verses are worthy of the title, trustworthy saying. Let's look at verse 8 to begin with. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. No one would deny that physical activity or training has benefits. That may be as little for some people as a walk around the garden. For others, it will be a much longer walk. For some, it will be jogging or running or a visit to the gym, and perhaps more than once a week. No one would deny that physical training, physical activity, has some benefits. On occasions in the past, I've gone to visit someone in a care home only to find folk doing chair aerobics to music. Physical training has its benefits. We've been given our bodies by God, and so we should look after them the best we can, for physical training is of some value. Someone has looked at it this way. While physical exercise or physical training has benefits, it is time-bound. At best, it is for the duration of life on earth. But the verse continues, doesn't it? Godliness or training in godliness has value for all things, holding promise for the present life and the life to come. How might we think about godliness, training in godliness? Godliness is something that shows itself through a growing, maturing relationship with Jesus Christ. And it has, as the verse suggests, an eternal dimension to it. Godliness grows in evidence in our lives as we look to Jesus and learn, as Paul says elsewhere, to imitate him, copy him. Another way to think about godliness is this. Godliness is about learning to reflect the characteristics of God. What are some of the characteristics of God? Patience, love, compassion, purity, integrity, gentleness, and mercy. Just some of the characteristics of God. And just before we think that all of these should be evident in our lives from the get-go with Jesus, the pursuit of godliness, the journey towards godliness, is a lifelong project from the moment we put our trust in Jesus. No one radiates or displays godliness overnight. We might say it is a work in progress. But the goal of every believer must be to become more like Jesus, more like him in outlook as we see him caring about people, more like him in attitude, wanting to do his Father's will and so bring pleasure to him. Godliness is about gradual change in the life of the believer. We'll be disappointed, we'll be frustrated if we expect overnight or microwave improvements in becoming more like Jesus. It's a process. We're a work in progress. The word or term godliness appears a number of times in Paul's pastoral epistles. That is, in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. They are what's known as the pastoral epistles. For instance, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 2, Paul urges his readers to pray for those in authority. Why? So that all may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Paul also refers to the godly teaching that originated with the Lord Jesus. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, the Lord's teaching leads to true godliness, unlike false teaching promoted by false teachers. Paul begins his letter to Titus by referring to his calling to teach the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. Titus 1, verse 1. Peter's list of Christian virtues, we read them a moment or two ago, Peter's list of Christian virtues in 2 Peter chapter 1 includes the characteristic of godliness. Add to a number of things, godliness. Godliness is about gradual change in the life of the believer, a growing in likeness to Jesus. Now permit me, if you will, to flag up a danger here. And I flag this danger up for my own benefit as much as for anyone else's. It is possible to appear godly. It is possible to come across as godly, but there be little to it. And this is what Paul is touching on in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, where he speaks about a form of godliness that lacks power. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. In other words, it's possible to look the part outwardly, but with little heart, or maybe no heart in it. It's just a show. This story from the world of nature might help. From time to time in different parts of the world, there is a growth in numbers of an insect called cicada. Cicada, they are a bit like locusts. During their development, there is a time when they shed their shell. But looking at the shell, one sees the form of the creature that once lived inside it. The shell bears a likeness to the real thing, but there's no life in it. I think we can say that it's possible to have a form of religion, yes, even the appearance of godliness, but with no life, with no power, no reality to it. Jesus complained along these lines, didn't he, about some of the religious leaders of his day. He had in mind those who paid a lot of attention to looking religiously good on the outside, but inside their hearts were far from God. Godliness is about taking on something of the character of Jesus, because to be in him and with him in the present, growing in likeness to him, is to be with him in the future. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. We don't brush aside the benefits of physical training because it is of some value, but training in godliness, working on our relationship with Jesus, has benefits beyond this life. A quote I came across says this: training in godliness develops the whole person in body, mind, and spirit, and its results affect not only time, but eternity as well. Seeking God's help through prayer, and also by fellowship with others of like mind. I don't think we can really expect to make progress in our faith, in our relationship with Christ, in godliness, if we don't spend time with His Word, spend time in prayer, and spend time in fellowship with others of like mind. In time, in the here and now, lots of people may not recognize the godly aims or aspirations of Christians. But we should be careful and not leave ourselves open to criticism. Careful not to communicate a negative vibe. I think we can say that verse 8 of 1 Timothy 4 contains a trustworthy saying. pointing out the temporal benefits of physical training, but much more importantly, pointing out the eternal benefits of the pursuit of godliness, likeness unto Jesus. But please remember, just as physical training takes time and effort to make progress, so it is with training towards godliness. It will take time and effort to make progress. Someone I read on the matter of growth and godliness said this: take small, attainable steps. Take small, attainable steps toward change, not impossible steps that may lead to frustration or failure. What then about what's said in verse 10? And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. This verse, verse 10, encourages confidence in God, and it also flags up the generosity of God. We were singing about Calvary there a while ago, and surely that's a demonstration of the generosity of God. This verse, verse 10, encourages confidence in God, and it also flags up the generosity of God, the Savior of all who put their trust in Him. Paul, he wants the Christians he's writing to be confident in God, in the living God. That's a great way to think of God, as the living God. You know, we read of so many in the Old Testament and in the New Testament who created their own gods, idols they looked to and worshipped, things made of wood and stone and bronze or silver or gold, idols that had ears but couldn't hear, eyes that couldn't see, hands that could do nothing to help. The living God, the God we worship, is able and active. Friends, Christian faith is an active thing. Our Savior is a risen, living Savior. And so we can think in terms of Him journeying with, traveling with His people, accompanying His people, always there for His people in patience and in friendship and in love. Our hope is not in a dead God. There are religions today, and their followers know where their leader is buried, and they cling to something he or she has said for future benefit. Folks, our hope is in the living God. And because He is living, as underlined by the resurrection of Jesus, so we can expect His interest in us, and we can expect His involvement with us and in our lives. Verse 10 encourages confidence in God, in the living God. And the verse also mentions the generosity of God. Notice the Savior of all men. Better to say, the Savior of all people. The Hebrew community that came to be known as the Jewish community felt for a long time that God was for them and for them alone. Indeed, it has to be said that Jesus came to the Jew first, but most of them were so set in their ways, so okay with the way religion was, that they didn't want Jesus around. But it was never the case of Jesus coming into the world to be the Savior of just one community of people. Take, for example, God speaking to Abraham as He called him into service. And through your offspring, God said to Abraham, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Genesis 22, verse 18. And of course, Jesus said, didn't He? All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will not drive away. Our God is the living God, and so one we can have confidence in. He is a generous God, the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. No fake news here. nothing but trustworthy sayings. It has to be right and credible that training in godliness will always, always, always lead to a better outcome than that of physical training. Important and all, as it is to look after our bodies, physical training is time-bound. Training in godliness is not time-bound. It holds promise, Paul says, for both the present life and the life to come. I don't know where you are tonight in relation to Jesus Christ. Only you know that. If you're not yet in Him, I urge you to turn to Him, to trust Him, to yield the rest of your life to Him, and find in Him forgiveness for sins and peace with God. For those of us who are in the Christian way, let's not take what Christ has done for us for granted. Folks, let's get our focus on Jesus, that more and more we will become like Him, truly reflecting His patience, His love, His compassion, purity, integrity, gentleness, and mercy. And we do this and can do this in the knowledge that the God we worship, the God we turn to, the God we rely on, the God we trust is the living God, and therefore active in the world, and especially so on the part of all who believe. We don't do fake news. We do trustworthy sayings. And the one or two for this evening are found there in verses 8 and 10 of 1 Timothy 4. Training in godliness is far more important. Working towards godliness is far more important than all we might achieve by physical training, because training in godliness has an eternal dimension to it, while physical achievements are temporal at best. Let's pray.